Good morning. Welcome back to the Outdoor Show. It is 5 a.m. here in the Bayou City. All right, let's run up to Lake Houston. Let's check in with Mr. John Littleton, see what he's up to this morning. John, good morning. What's happening?
Hey, good morning, man. I'm doing pretty good, sir. How are you today?
Oh, it couldn't be better. It's all good, man.
Yep. Oh, yeah. 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 I know. I was glad I set my alarm, I'm usually awake, but I set my alarm for 4:30 and it went off, and you know, usually I've done had a cup of coffee by then. But
yeah, I didn't set mine last night. I don't know why. I usually never miss, but luckily I woke up before my alarm was supposed to go off this morning, so
yeah,
that way I wasn't late.
Well, I've been stuck over in Louisiana all week, and
have you?
I took off a few days last week, and I had some honeydews and had to rebuild my deck in my backyard and, you know, that good stuff. So,
You
know, I had to go back to work to go on vacation again. So
yeah,
you know,
go back to work so you can rest up.
I know. I go to Louisiana and hang out down there, and life's a little bit easier, you know. So, yeah. But hadn't did any fishing this week, Mickey. Like I said, I've been stuck over there. But, you know, a couple guys that I know that, you know, they've been out. Bass fishing's still okay. You know,
yeah.
It's not great. You know, we still dealing with, you know, a little bit of water clarity. And, you know, I did stop by the marina yesterday on the way home, and the water looks a little bit high, or it's right. It's just, if it's above pool, it's just barely, you know, above pool. I've got a couple areas where I can look, you know, there at the boat ramp, and I can tell if it's, you know, if it's level or not, or pretty close, yeah, or whatever. But, and even the watercolor there by the marina, it looks like it's cleaning up a little bit. But, you know, it's just hit and a miss here and there. You can find some clean water. But like I've been saying the last 2 or 3 weeks, we're finding clean water, but we're not catching fish in it. I mean, we're catching fish still in the muddy water.
Yeah.
You know, so it's, you just got to get out there and go. I mean, you know, just kind of put your sunglasses on and don't look at the watercolor and just go chunk them lines and catch some fish, you know.
Yeah, when you put your glasses on, it looks a little worse. It's a bad thing.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, the catfishing, the guys are doing pretty good out there catching those cats. They're running on, you know, those you know, noodle things they're throwing out there, and you know, baiting them with shad, you know. I know one of the guys, he still uses chicken liver, and you know, he uses a treble hook on those things, and
right,
he actually takes some sewing thread. And, you know, once he puts him a chunk of that chicken liver on that treble hook, he takes that sewing thread and kind of winds it around there 3 or 4 or 5 times and ties it off. And it, you know, it does help hold that
on. Or they can't nibble it off. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. But no giants, you know, catching those good, you know, what I call table fare catfish.
Well, that's the ones you want for table fare anyway, you know. Yeah.
Yeah. 2, 2.5 pounds, you know, get you a couple good, you know, good size fillets out of them, and then you can cut those fillets in half. And I still like to keep some of them bigger fillets, throw them on the grill, you know, and blacken them and
right,
put them over some rice. Man, that's good.
That's good. Sure.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, most people think catfish, heck, you got to fry it. You know, but frying's good, don't get me wrong. But, you know, you can do other stuff with it.
That's what's good about fish. There's a lot of different ways you can cook it.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's good for you.
Yeah. It's like deer meat, you know.
Yeah.
Cook you some deer meat, and that's, you know, that's good for you too, you know. But, no, everything's been pretty good. You know, the white bass, I did talk to a good friend of mine. He was out white bass fishing, and he had been catching some. But he went over by the railroad tracks because this time of year, I mean, you know, the fish are to be on the railroad tracks out in that, oh, I'd say 10 to 14, 15, 16 foot deep, you know, water. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, just throwing crankbaits beside those railroad track columns. And you can buy, you know, some crankbaits that get down 6 to 8 foot, 10 foot.
Yeah.
But he said, man, he just, you know, he told me he only ended up catching three. But he said he kept getting hung up and broke out, you know, a lot. He just, you know, apparently, I guess there's a bunch of drift hung up down there around those columns.
Well, I'm sure there is.
Yeah.
All the fresh water's flowed through these lakes this year. Crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. He said that he was, you know, he just got tired of, he said, man, it was, you know, I just got tired of getting broken off and, you know, just, you know, it wasn't, it, you know, that just irritates you after a while, you know.
It irritates the pocketbook, too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And what was bad, he said he was trying to catch him some to eat, and the three he caught weren't even keepers. So, you know. You know, that gave me some insight, though. I said, well, you know, I'll be out there bass fishing. I'll go start flipping them poles. Because with that debris down there hung up around them poles, you know, I can throw a Texas rig or a jig or something like that in there and probably catch a pretty good bass or two.
Yeah, rig, you know, something weedless and get down there and all that drift and pull some good fish out of there.
Yeah, because they're, you know, that's an area, you know, I see people like you see at a lot of lakes. They'll be tied up around those bridge columns, crappie fishing, whatever. Mm-hmm. You know, they're going to catch bass, crappie, catfish. You know, it's just a good place. And, you know, a lot of them are in, they have a family with them, you know, a mom, a couple kids, you know, and it's just, they can get under that bridge. It's a little bit shady. You know, they can just have a good time. And,
well, it's good, you know, structure, too, kids. It'll hold all kinds of fish.
Yeah, yeah. And like I said, you might reel in a catfish or you might reel in a bass or whatever. And usually they're just fishing for something to eat, you know, and get the kids out, you know, and let them catch a fish or two. So, but
what about an open lake out there? Is anybody at white bass schooling at all?
No, I haven't heard of any, you know, any out there schooling. Not yet.
Yeah, I know Livingston's still good right now. They're still catching a lot of white bass right now.
Yeah, it should be good, you know, especially down around that, in between Deuson Park and the railroad track. Mm-hmm. You know, it should be this time of year. They're up, you know, they're just up chasing big old bait balls.
Right.
Know? But I haven't heard any reports, and I haven't seen them. This time of year, I've got two or three boat docks on that end of the lake that I'll run down and fish, you know, for bass. But I haven't been catching any keepers off of it. I've been catching some short fish, but no keepers. So, but it's kind of like, you know, we all have those areas. You got to go check it, because at any time I could go down there and flip a Texas rig or, you know, skip a jig under one of those docks and catch a 4 or 5 pounder. They're what I call my big fish docks, you know, so you got a limit in your boat, or, you know, you got four in your boat, and you, well, I'll run down there, maybe get my fifth keeper or or maybe catch a fifth or a sixth one and cull up, you know. So, but we all, everybody has those spots. But black and blue still doing real good, Mickey. I mean, as far as bass, you know, that's a heck, it's hard to beat black and blue anywhere you go.
Right.
But especially with the muddier water, you know, you can throw black and blue jig or, you know, you can, I you know, I'm old school a lot on this stuff. I still like throw that old black and blue zoom lizard, you know,
uh-huh.
the six
yeah,
inch one.
That's a good bait.
You know?
A lot of bass caught on that.
Yep, yep. Got some good action to it. And, you know, I'm real big on scent, you know, on my baits. And, you know, so I scent it, especially in the muddy water, you know, it, you know, you put that scent on there and let it sink down there. And maybe if they nibble on it a little bit or get close to it, you know, they'll want to chew on it a little bit longer. Just maybe provide you that split second longer that you can get a hook set.
Well, and you know, they get a short hit or, you know, bite, they'll taste right. that or smell it and they'll come back on it a lot of times.
Yeah, I've had that happen a lot. Yeah. And, you know, like I said, I've thrown out there before and go, man, that, you know, it felt like a fish, and then you move it a little bit and you get nailed. Well, you know, it was a fish. You just, you know,
right.
you just come back on it. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, but it's all, you know, it's all good. I'm going to try to go out. I got a little area I've been wanting to throw my frog on all year, and it just hadn't been right. I'm going to run out tomorrow morning and see if I can get one to blow up on a frog. And, you know, we don't have a tournament this weekend, but, you know, I need to get out there. I didn't fish this week, so I need to get out there. My buddies over in Louisiana that work, you know, with me over there, mm-hmm. they've been wading out. They said, you know, surf, but I honestly don't know where they're actually talking about, but they've been out there wading and doing pretty good, catching a, you know, mixed bags of stuff. And
yeah.
So, you know, they just, I don't know. I'm just, man, I'm scared of them sharks. I don't,
well, at least that Louisiana surf has a lot of sharks in it, man.
Yeah, they said, yeah, you'll feel them bumping your legs or, you know, you'll feel a tug on your, you know, they'll put their fish on a stringer.
Yeah.
And let it, you know, get about 10 foot behind them or wherever, you know. And he said, you'll feel a tug on that, you know. And he said, it'll be a shark out there yeah. trying to eat your catch.
Yeah, feeding the local wildlife.
I don't know. I just have a problem with that, but, you know. But
a lot
they
of people
don't.
Do.
One of them, he doesn't. Yeah, he doesn't have a boat. He wade fishes year round, you know. So, and he catches fish year round.
Yeah,
but out there doing that, but
it's
all good. I mean,
all right, John. Well, hey, man, somebody wants to give you a call and pick your brain. How do they get a hold of you, man?
Sure, they can always reach me on my cell 281-222-8544. Just
all right,
give
John.
Me a call or. Send me a text.
You got it, buddy. Well, you have a good weekend.
Okay.
Good luck. Catch them
you
up.
Too.
See
All
you,
right.
man. Later.
Thanks, sir.
All right. Well, folks, if you need pipe, valves, fittings, instrumentation, fasteners, or gaskets, you need them fast, look no further than Allied Industrial Sales Incorporated. They're your one-stop shop for all of your petrochemical supply needs. They have a full fleet of delivery trucks and same-day delivery. There's no need to wait weeks for other distributors. Let Allied deliver today. And if you're looking for that hard-to-find item and can't wait on those long deliveries, their sales team, with over 100 years of combined experience, they're here to support you from start to finish, whether it's a 24/7 maintenance project or ground-up construction. Remember, the first three letters of Allied are all, and that's exactly what they do. Allied Industrial Sales Incorporated. Let them handle it all for you at 281-332-6224 or sales at AlliedInc.com. That's 281-332-6224. Good morning. Welcome back to the Outdoor Show. 520 here in the Bayou City. All right, let's run down to Texas City and check in with our good friend, Mr. Dave Fremont at Texas City Dyke and Boyd's One Stop. Dave, good morning. How are you, man?
Oh, good morning, Captain Mickey. Fine and dandy like sugar candy. What can I tell you?
Attaboy. Well, life is good.
Oh, yeah. Jason's dad just come by the window here to say hi real quick. Jason's mama does a lot of the bookkeeping work for Jason. She's one of the best bean counters there is. She gets here early and stays late. But anyway, Mr. Leon dropped her off and come by here and waved real quick. I said, "Hey, I'm fixing to holler at Captain Mickey," and he said, "Yeah." He says, "I'm out of here." Anyway, man, I get all discombobulated when you put that Belleville meat market spot on. I get so doggone hungry so quick. And
boy, get your head
thinking
swimming,
about
doesn't your stomach churning?
Hey.
It's all good.
You threw out a lot of good stuff there that they carry, and it gets the appetite going. My mind goes in one direction, which is about the way it runs anyway. Can't multitask on this old brain. But anyway, made my run out to the end of the dike and back, and looks a whole lot different. It's been hopping around here with tackle time and everything going on, but it's settled back down kind of the way I like it. Not too much activity, but it'll pick up here as the day goes by. Yeah, we'll see what happens. The wind's laid down a little bit, but I think it comes and goes. But the bait flags are not blowing as much as they were when I came out here earlier. So hopefully, maybe things will settle down a little bit.
Yeah, we ran by the dike the other day, you know, in the boat, and there was quite a few people fishing off the dike. Couldn't believe it. There's a lot of people out there on a Wednesday.
Yeah. There's I come out here couple of days and during the week and try to spot a few of the waders and some of the boats that are in close to the Mosquito Island and on down Skyline Drive heading towards Dollar, and put the old binoculars on them, have a look and see what's happening. And been quite a bit of activity going on, like you say, even on the weekdays.
Yeah.
But Tackle Time did their thing. I think they had a pretty good year, Mickey. I believe they had quite a bit of activity, and I didn't get to see the fireworks show, but they usually they blow up a lot of stuff when they. This year, I don't think I've ever seen a year where there was more fireworks all across, Mickey. I mean, up and down the coast and over in League City. I'll tell you one thing, these people around here made them Chinese mighty rich. They bought
a lot of money burned up. 4th of July, I couldn't believe it. Especially over my way, shoreline I live on. It was
unreal.
Awesome.
I think I still smell fireworks in the air today. I mean, it's like, man, they burn up a lot of stuff.
Like the smell of powder.
Smells like victory.
Yeah, almost as good as napalm.
Yeah.
That's classic.
Yes, you bet. It's going to be a good morning. There's a few people out there. One set of lights. But I just don't see many of those old Coleman gas burners anymore than lanterns.
The old era of Coleman lanterns has kind of gone away. There's a lot of new,
man, I tell
new
you,
stuff
that's
to take its
all,
place.
That's all we had, Mickey, back when. You know, my daddy, that's one of the things he taught us was how to burn the mantles on the lantern.
The,
you know, when you
turn the gas up, you know, you had that one little deal there where you turn it on to burn, and once they got the glowing, you turn the knob back or that little clip. And
yeah,
here we go, we got light.
He taught us how to tie that mantle sock on and put a match to it and burn it and be real careful. It was just amazing how that turns into nothing but ash. And he says, from now on, don't be bumping that lantern. We'd go down and get out
for breaking mantles, bumping the lantern, them double mantles, man. Oh boy, my dad used to get so mad at us.
Yeah, we moved up to double mantles, man.
Oh,
that was like
the double lantern and put that shield on the back with a handle. Oh man.
Well, yeah. Well, when you asked me that question about what happens if you broke one, we would go out to the North Jetty. We'd ride the ferry. I mean, it'd be like midnight. We'd ride the ferry, get over there, and we'd start walking that North Jetty. We'd be carrying everything. I think we brought half of the garage with us when we were heading out to trying to make it to the boat cut. And I'd be carrying one of them Coleman lanterns. And man, if I bumped it or kind of tripped and bumped it and broke it, and it's kind of hard to set them up after when pitch dark out there, you know.
Yeah.
So it's kind of sometimes
you're blowing too.
Oh yeah, but that look he would give was the same look when we was in the garage at night, and he had putting on an emergency alternator on the car, and he had me holding the flashlight, and I was shining up there at the spider webs. look, you know, that same look there was whenever I'd break a mantle on a lantern. We didn't happen very often, but it's just one of those things. It's kind of like forgetting to bring the ice pick. You know, we didn't buy a bag of ice. Crushed ice.
No, it's block ice back then, man.
Oh, yeah, because it was cheaper. You get it cheaper, and plus it would last longer, and that was all about it with my dad. It was frugal city. I'm telling you, you took it. You forget the ice pick, that ain't good. But all those things are memories from the past that you just don't even think about. And most folks, youngsters nowadays, you talk about mantles, they don't know. They think you're talking about something on a fireplace. They don't have any idea what's going on. But I got to admit, Mickey, these old LED lights and all this stuff now, yeah, pretty cool. You know, that's
much
that's
better.
A step up.
Much better.
Step up.
Yes, sir.
But, we'd get that gas from an Amoco gas station, American Oil gas station. Yes, sir. White gas. You tell them white gas now, say, what in the heck are you talking about? But white gas, unleaded white gas. Good stuff.
That's right, man.
Anyway, enough of that.
Coleman fuel.
Trout. Yes, sir. We didn't get the Coleman fuel. My dad worked for American Oil, and that's ended up where I made my career too. But we bought that cheap gas. We'd get that. We wouldn't buy that Coleman fuel. I guarantee you. Mickey, speckled trout. That's been what's been going on around here. Some good catches off of Mosquito, and also down Skyline Drive all the way to Dollar Reef, and some of them are actually fishing along the floodgate there and getting some catches, depending on the tidal flow going through the gate. And I don't know, maybe the water's going to shape up. There'll be a day when it's going to get all purtied up again after all the rain and the water getting let loose from up north. But it's been a good grief. It's been a crazy couple of weeks, and nothing can be said for all the sadness and stuff that went on up around the hill country. It's just amazing.
I know. It's crazy.
But hopefully things will settle down a bit and we can get a run of some good days and a little bit of peace. But anyway, the dike's been, like I say, well used, and then it's getting quiet again.
Yep.
Boyd's is alive and well. I walked by. Talked to one of Jason's sons, Judah. He was out there, and he actually had a couple of sacks of crawfish. Those were no doubt crawfish sacks that were reserved earlier in the week. So when what little bit of delivery came in last night goes to some customers that reserved them early. And the prices have shot way back up because they're only catching a little bit, and they're spending a lot of money to do it. So it's all...
I'm surprised
relative.
Y'all are still getting them. It's July and it's hot, and I guess with all the rain this year, it's kept it going good.
Yeah, just Jason's just working with them. If they say, hey, we've got some, he'll rattle the bushes and see if some of the wholesale customers are still willing to put the pencil to it and see if they can make a nickel or two on cooking some up or selling them. So But anyway, it's fizzled out for sure. I guarantee you, it's slim and none on the crawfish. But that's okay. We're gonna let them rest and get back at it in the winter when it kicks back off again. Live shrimp are in the bait tanks. The shrimpers have been having to work hard to get them once again because of low salinity and weather conditions. But they're getting out there and getting them, and the flags are flying. The croakers, oh, he's got a good batch of croaker. I think there's about 400 dozen in there now in the big in the big tank. So if someone come in, get about 30 or 40 dozen of them. But anyway, they'll work.
30 dozen, Captain. I need to catch 3 trout this morning. I need 30 dozen croakers.
Yeah. I don't know how it adds up, but it does. People still enjoy fishing with it. People like to fish with them. They like to catch fish, and that's what I like about it, especially this area that we live. You got so many different ways, so many different baits, and you just fish in between the weather, and you can still get out and have a good time. And, Mickey, I got to be honest, 3 fish, if we bring home 3 speckled trout filleted out, if I fry all of them at once, my wife and I'll be eating on them for 2 or 3 days.
I'm the same. I'm with you too. Same way over my way. Really, a trout and a half is more than enough for the two of us.
Yeah, but it's been good. There's some sheephead. There's some sheephead also caught right along here off the rocks. There's a lot of sheephead that hang around these granite rocks and. Yeah, You can go out there with a piece of just about anything. You can use some crab flippers, anything. You don't have to spend much money to catch some sheephead, and that's some good table fare too. Well, I guarantee you. Don't let them spines and big armored scales and them big old teeth that are bigger than mine scare you. Just get in there and bake them whole. Just gut them and bake them whole, and you can eat good. Little bit of butter and garlic, you're all right. Anyway, Mickey, man, I done
got a good
talk my way. Yeah. Boyd's Cajun Grill is going strong. We've got the Boyd's Cajun Grill food trailer in Santa Fe been running this week and putting out some goodies. So we're set up and ready to go at Boyd's One Stop, 227 Dyke Road, 409-945-4001.
All right. That's sounding good. That's first class. All right. Well, Dave, you have a good weekend. Always a pleasure, man.
Thank you, Mickey. It's my pleasure, and look forward to talking to you next week.
Thank you, sir. See you, man. All right.
Bye-bye.
All right. That's Dave Fremont down at the Texas City Dyke and Boyd's One Stop. And, folks, if you're looking for the ultimate outdoor adventure, welcome to Rusty Hook Ranch, a premier hunting and fishing destination right in Matagorda, Texas. Whether you're after waterfowl, quail, thermal hog, or even alligator hunts, Rusty Hook Ranch has it all. And don't forget about their top-tier Matagorda Bay fishing charters. So bring your friends, your clients. Let the boys at Rusty Hook Ranch take care of everything from 5-star lodging, skeet shooting, and sporting clays to a fully stocked bass pond. That way your weekend here will be one you won't soon forget. So if you need a place for team building, family reunions, weddings, or other events, Rusty Hook Ranch can sleep large groups of up to 40 and host events for up to 300 people. So why wait? Experience the best of Texas at Rusty Hook Ranch. Book your adventure today at RustyHookRanch.com. That's RustyHookRanch.com. Tell them Captain Mickey sent you. Good morning. Welcome back to the Outdoor Show. It is 5:38. All right, let's head down Galveston Way. Let's check in with Captain Steve Hiltman this morning. Good morning, Steve. What's up, man?
Not a lot. How are you this morning?
Oh, I'm fit as a fiddle, twice as high strung.
That's perfect.
I'm on it.
That's awesome.
And you? How are you?
Oh, man. I'm a little tired. A little tired.
You are. I don't know how you can... Well, I know how y'all do it every day. I couldn't do it anymore like that. That's a lot of work.
Well, it's been pretty easy fishing up until this week.
It's fun work, you know, but it's work.
Well, it is when you have the guys that we have. That's the only reason I keep doing it.
Yeah, that was fun the other day with you and Joe.
Yeah, he sent me a real nice text.
Yeah.
He sent me a nice text. I think he sent you one, too.
Yeah,
but he wants to put a few more on the books. So I sent him some dates last night. So I'll be getting with you again, and we'll do it several more times, it sounds like. So, but he's a good old dude.
Yeah, he is. I like old Joe.
He doesn't talk near as much as I do, but that's okay.
we kind of had him laughing a little bit, though. Boy, there was some smack talking going on, wasn't there?
That's the most I've seen him laugh, man. He's been fishing with me on and off for a few years. I know he fished with you for a long time, but
probably driving home in his car going, man, them guys are crazy.
Yeah, no, I know. He's shaking his head a couple of times I don't remember what we were talking about. He just looks at the floor, he's grinning and just shaking his head side to side, like, what in the world did I get myself into?
What did I get myself into today? And he was in the middle. He was catching it from both ends.
Yeah, he was. That was fun, but. No, I appreciate you jumping in the other day.
Oh, I know he had a good time, man.
He enjoyed the heck out of it. But now this week, well, you saw it for yourself. I mean, not a bad bite. It's just not hot and heavy like it was.
Yeah. they don't eat like crazy, you know, every week.
No, but it's just surprising to me because typically, and you know this, you know, leading up to a full moon, the bite, they usually start eating pretty damn good. And I mean, again, it wasn't bad fishing. It just wasn't. We got spoiled. I think we've been spoiled for the last couple of months.
Yeah.
But I'm saying it's slow. I mean, I think we caught over 20 fish, me and you and Joe. But,
yeah.
But, you know, I'm done with all this counting, clicking garbage. We're going to have a good time. You know what I mean? But, it was steady. Everywhere we went, we caught fish. But prior to this week, you know, I was putting the hook out on fish. And, of course, I did. I lost some of my stuff to some of the wolf packs. But, you know, I'm not able to do everything I was doing. But and that's kind of changed the program a little bit. But overall, you can tell when the bite's good and when it's not good. And it's just, for whatever reason, I don't know if it's tides or what, but it just got to...
Well, in the morning, that tide was running so hard, it kept stirring the water up, and it... Then when the water started getting right, then the storms chased us in.
That's
remember
it.
Remember how green, once that tide slacked up, how green the water got?
Isn't that amazing? Yeah. I mean, it was pretty... It was off color pretty much
different
everywhere.
Different as night and day, man.
Yeah, even when we went way south, you know, the water was still off, and then when that tide slacked off, it got real pretty.
I just can't believe the amount of silt in Galveston Bay, even down y'all's way. I can see it up my way.
Yeah.
You know, I can understand it, but even down there on y'all's end, I just can't believe how much silt we have just strewn all over this bay system. You know, dredging projects and floods and everything else, it's just nuts.
Well, that's it. The dredging stuff, you know, it started, well, it's been going on for eons, but...
Well, you had that big 10-year project. Now you got another one. So
up your way. Now there's one up your way. And then you've got all the oyster reefs that we've lost from Ike and through the years for other reasons. You don't have the filtering that we used to have, and you don't have the hard substrate to keep the bay settled out. You know, it's changed, but we still got some fish to catch, apparently, so that's good.
Oh, yeah.
But we didn't catch any good ones this week either. That's the thing. You know, we were catching quite a few four-pounders and a couple over five each week. And then this week, of course, I lost that really good one right there at the boat, me, you, and Joe. That was the biggest fish I hooked all week. But what you saw, what you and Joe saw, is what I caught all week. Solid,
well, I had one really good one on, too, that came off about halfway in, which, you know, didn't bother me. We're throwing them back anyway, but still, I'd like to held him anyway.
Yeah, it was nice releasing everything. It was nice letting But it was nice turning everything loose for a change. I get tired of killing everything.
I know.
You know?
Gut piles.
But now I had my slowest day was yesterday, and I just had one guy Jody Moses, really good fisherman, and I'm thinking, man, it's gonna be easy. I don't know why it always works out that way. I guess I'm kind of glad it was slower with him than, say, a group of new customers or something. But right. I mean, we caught fish yesterday, but it wasn't that good. We covered a lot of water, and I deviated from the plan. Of course, you know, one of my go-to spots I couldn't fish yesterday, but we went all over the place and tried a bunch of new stuff. And man, I went to a reef that I haven't fished in honestly probably 6 or 7 years, and I wasn't sure if it was even still there. And you know, I'm looking at the depth finder. I'm telling Jody, I'm like, okay, it should start coming up right here. It should start coming up. And finally it started coming up. I'm like, wow, it's still here. Yeah. But we didn't, I had a conventional 1/8 ounce jig head on, and I'm working it real slow on purpose to see if I could feel any shell. And I never could get hung up or anything. So the lump is still there. The hump's still there, but I don't think there's much reef left on it. But
yeah,
I caught about a 35 inch redfish on it. So that's the only thing I caught there. But we did a bunch of silly stuff yesterday, just trying to find something different, man. I got this in the last week or so, this bay's gotten a lot smaller, and I'm having to try to find something else that I can lean on, you know. But and I did find some fish. We found a few fish in a different area, but it's not great, I don't think. But the bite was so off yesterday. You know, when you go
it's hard to tell when the bite's off, you know, how many fish are really there.
No, that's it. That's what I was going to say. I mean, when you're kind of, you know, going scouting. I mean, I had a customer, but we were looking at stuff. But when you're scouting, when the bite's no good, you don't know what's there. Because they're not cooperating. And one of the areas we pulled up to, it was kind of like that. I think, it was us on, when did we go, Mickey? When was that?
Wednesday.
Was that Wednesday? Wednesday. Yeah. So remember that first spot we pulled up to, and they were slicking their butt off? And we only caught like 3 or 4 fish there.
Right.
Well, it was the same way with me and Jody yesterday. We pulled up to a spot, man, beautiful slicks, and smell would just take your breath away. And I think I caught one. I mean, I know they were there, but they just weren't doing the deal.
Obvious they're there.
Yeah. But, man, I told Jody.
How long do you have to sit on those to get them going? You know, that's the whole deal. You don't want to waste, you know, 3-4 hours on something that it may not materialize. You got to move on, man.
That's it. And then we're getting these typical midsummer afternoon thunder bumpers now, and you kind of get squeezed on your time. Some days where you don't want to waste a lot of time, because you know you might get
the other day, man. We're starting to catch them pretty good there, and I got to looking back to the west. I said, man, where'd all that come from? We started checking radar, and we actually wanted to fish about 4 or 5 more areas, but it didn't happen. We couldn't do it.
Yeah, that stuff moved fast. I couldn't believe it. I mean,
it was moving 20 plus miles an hour towards us.
It was crazy. You're looking at your radar, and I'm looking at mine, and then we're looking for with our own eyes, and I'm like, okay, this radar is not telling me what my eyes are telling me. And
we
pushed the envelope. I pushed the envelope a little too much on that.
Well, you got to catch one more. And I looked at you when you fired that boat up and put her on the console. I said, I don't think we're going to make it. We didn't. We were about 2 miles short, man. That one fish cost us.
Oh, and poor Joe sitting up there on the cooler just getting pummeled by those giant raindrops. And
I pulled my cap down as tight as it'd go and cinched my glasses up and just put my head down and hung on.
I had that old stupid whaler in full-blown nosebleed mode as fast as it would go. Oh, my God.
That's when I looked over at you. I said, man, we need to be in SCB. We can make it.
Yeah, that's right. But, no, it's just a little bit different this week. And I am seeing some fish move a little bit, you know, for the last couple of months. I've kind of been in the same places, and there's a couple spots they still are, but this water, as you saw for yourself, is starting to salt up in some areas that weren't previously, you know, salty, and these fish are starting to spread out a little bit, and we're catching more fish in deeper water now. I think I mentioned it last week.
Right.
You know, I'm catching a lot of fish in 8-9 foot of water now, and still catching some, you know, relatively shallow, 4 or 5 feet, but for the most part, I'm catching most of mine in deep water. I mean, hell, that one spot me, you, and Joe went to, remember, it was deep, deep water. Now we're fishing ledges.
Right next to that deep stuff, man.
Yeah.
Right on the ledge.
Yeah. But so I'm doing more of that. But some of that stuff I can't do when it's real windy is the problem. And we had yesterday, it puffed up pretty good yesterday out of the southwest. That kind of put a damper on some of my plans, what I wanted to do.
It does.
But overall, it's not bad, you know. But this week we caught most everything on some variation of plum, you know, slamming chicken, or you were catching them on that purple Little John. Imagine that. And then,
how about that old smoked shrimp tail I put on?
Oh, man, yeah.
With the chartreuse tail. I said, look at this. First cast I threw out, bam, got one. I said, uh-oh.
Yeah, I saw you open that box.
All old school.
Tails. I'm like, yeah,
hey, I had
cool.
All of them lined up in there. I had the pearl with chartreuse tail, the strawberry white tail, and then the smoke with the chartreuse tail.
Yeah, that's just I love that. That's like that one area I took Jody yesterday. I was telling him that's what we used to catch, that one reef that's really not there anymore where I caught that red. I think I caught my first keeper everything on that reef when I was probably 14 or 15 years old on the old, well, back then Kelly Wiggler, you know, it's K Wiggler now, but Kelly Wiggler shrimp.
Kelly Wiggler, Hoagie, and Paul Browns.
Yep. Yep. Then there was another shrimp tail. We had the legs on it. Which one was that?
That was the Paul Brown.
Was that Mr. Brown stuff?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I know everybody had a worm bar back then. Remember, Mike Carlisle had one.
Right.
And then Marburgers had one. Academy had.
All your academies had them. Just grab handfuls and stuff, sacks full of them.
Put them in those little plastic bags. Yep. Yeah, and those jig heads, those little Aberdeen-looking hooks on them. Well, hell, that's one you were throwing the other day.
Yeah, that was a Paul Brown jig head with a real thin wire Aberdeen hook. And it's good for trout. Now, redfish, I'll straighten them out. But we got in all that structure. I said, well, I won't be breaking off. I can just straighten the hook out and bend it back with pliers.
Yeah.
Oh, I hate breaking off. God, I hate breaking off.
I do too.
Speaking of breaking off, I got to break out of here, man. It's already time to get out of here, buddy. Well, Hillman, if somebody wants to come down and fish with you, fish Galveston Bay, how do they get a hold of you, man?
Yeah, man, I've got some holes from now to the rest of the year. Plenty of holes. Give me a call.
Fill them up.
409-256-7937.
All right, Hillman. Hey, it's always good talking to you, and I had a good time the other day. We'll do it again soon.
Yes, sir. I appreciate it, Mickey. Brother. Thank you.
Hey, thank you. See you now. All right.
All right.
All right. That's Captain Steve Hillman out of Galveston. Unfortunately, that's all the time we have for today's show. We'll be back in the morning bright and early, 4 a.m. right here at Sports Radio 610 KILT Houston.